Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'd like to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Shokan Weinkauf. Shokan and I practiced here together in the 1970s and the 1980s. And Shokan's son, David, grew up with my kids, and they used to be good friends. And Shokan and I used to be good friends, and we still are. Even though we don't see each other very often, we're friends. We're friends. And he's a wonderful teacher, wonderful Zen teacher. He's come up here from northern Iowa, where he has a Zen monastery called Ryumonji, which he has been the guiding teacher of for a long time now. And you can see he's just a young guy with lots of energy, so go down and practice with him. Visit. He's good. He's good. Welcome, Shokan.
Thank you. What a great introduction. Young guy with lots of energy. So, hello back there in the bleachers. And hello back here. Yeah, gosh, some old familiar faces. Some of you old folks that I know, you're looking older and older. I used to live in the blue house right across the alley here. So it's really like home to come back to Zen Center here. And just be able to share a little bit. So I came, you know, when I came here, I was not looking for religion. I was not looking for Buddhism. It was like I was looking to just deal with my life, because I was going through a divorce at the time. I had a 3-year-old son. And I was sitting right over there where you're sitting in front of that window. Someone invited me to come for morning zazen. And I came for that morning zazen, and it was 40 minutes. And first of all, I didn't know whether I could sit for 40 minutes. And then, so I did. And I've told this story before, but it really was a turning point in my life. Because in that 40 minutes, I slowed down enough from my craziness and, you know, whether it was anger or just being crazy, you know, like, where am I? And, you know, a 3-year-old son and just dealing with all that. It was the first time, actually, when the bottom sort of fell out of my life. Not sort of, did. Up to that time, I felt sort of in control, more or less, you know. Like I was calling the shots, you know. I had been in Catholic priesthood. I left Catholic priesthood, you know. Eventually, I got married. It was like I was on a roll with life, and it's true, you know. When things are going our way, you know, there's ripples, you know, in the trip, so to speak, but basically, we're kind of moving along pretty good, you know. And if things are going our way, we're happy. But if they're not going our way, then, you know, it's like, where are we? And I think that's the issue that Buddhism addresses. Like, where do we fit in this whole universe here a little bit? Where do we fit when things are not going our way? Where is peace? Where is happiness? Anyway, that sitting over there was, in that 40 minutes, it's like I had this, I calmed down, I slowed down enough to have a face-on-face conversation with myself. And that conversation was something like, you know, my Dharma name is Shokin, but my family name is Floyd. Katagiri Roshi would always call me Freud. And that was a joke because I was kind of a psychologist. That was my work. You know? But anyway, I got beyond that. You know, it was good. But anyway, in that, toward the end of that 40 minutes, you know, I had this kind of straight on, sort of with myself, like, grow up, get your life together. You know, you have a 3-year-old son, you know, deal with what is. And stand up there, quit all your stuff, and start taking, you know, day by day, step by step. And that was that zazen. That zazen instruction. You've all had probably a little instruction or probably a lot. You've been sitting for a lot of years. It's basically, you know, not trying to get something, but to kind of quiet down enough to just sit up in this time, in this moment, as it is. So that really is, that experience stuck with me. And Katagiri Roshi talked that zazen is not just a matter of, you know, on your cushion, but it's your life. Can you just sit up and take care of day to day, moment to moment, as it is, not necessarily as we want it to be, which is fine. But can we take care of life as it is? So I think that's the practice. We have a monastery down there in southern Iowa, and I write even a little article for a Decor newspaper. I don't wave the flag of Buddhism, you know, but basically talk about, where are we with our life? Do we see where we are? And first of all, let's start with, we are this little speck in a vast universe. Not just our galaxy, but myriad galaxies of time and space. And here we are. You know, across the alley from where I used to live, on Lake Calhoun, in this moment and in this time. But actually, it's way beyond you and me. So our life, what I call my life, is really vastness of existence, if you look at it. And this is something I think we can all see, you know, that we're influenced by our parents, we're influenced by our grandparents, we're influenced by, you know, the Tea Party, you know, and American independence, and we're influenced by sun, by earth. We are that, all of that. Dogen Senpai says, you are not it. You are not that vast emptiness or universal oneness. It is you. We are all of that. So if that's so, then, you know, can we just take care of moment? The moment that's under our foot. Because we are we. You know, you're you and I'm me. You know, and we draw lines in the sand and say, I'm me. But actually, we are really interwoven and interpenetrated with all universe. So can we get with universe as it's happening? So that quality is to be alive in moment, wherever you are. So, flat tire moment, can you handle flat tire? You know, divorce moment, can you handle divorce? You say it's not fair, or you say we all have our viewpoints. National moments, international moments, you know, wherever you are, in your work, your day, you've got your rights, you've got your view. But sometimes things, I'm not saying be passive, don't change, you know, what our situation is. But ultimately, can you stand up in what is? That quality, I think, is Buddhist practice. It's not trying to get high off the cushion. It's not trying to kind of find some kind of enlightenment experience of oneness. You know, that's cool, but it only goes so far when somebody's in your face, you know. And how do you deal with conflict? And so that quality is a day-by-day practice, a day-by-day, you know, taking care of life as it is. Katagiri Roshi, he says, it's really nice. There's a little chapter here called To Live is Just to Live. So he says here, teachings are important, but where do they come from? Like all the Buddhist teachings. He says, they come from the truth that to live is just to live. Can we do that? Just to live is to live. To live when your barn has been burned down by a cow that kicked over the lantern. To live is like my brother who just is going through, I don't want to get into a long shaggy dog story, but I will a little bit. He had hip replacement in 2009. He became infected when he got thrown out of a river raft and hit his hip on a big root tree. Became infected. The infectant spread through his body. He almost died here like 3 weeks ago of septic shock with everything shutting down. I went down, I was with him. I really respected his strength, actually, of just dealing with what was. So then he started making some recovery, and they looked at his, it's like a deer knife. It goes into your hip, and they just rip it up here to your waistline. That was the cut, you know, where he took that artificial hip out and replaced it with a spacer that was medicated so that would clear the infection up. And everybody was so happy that they were starting to get the infection cleared up. And then 4 nights ago, because of all the morphine or whatever, he couldn't really pass through his colon, his food processing. And his colon knotted up. And so yesterday, Friday night, they had another surgery. This time to straighten out his colon. 6-hour surgery. So, where's life? Where's fun? Is this a good day? Are you having a good day, John? You know, we're always looking for the good day. But can you sit up and take care of those moments? That quality is really practice. It's really dropping off me. I am me. We all are me. But we also, where Dogen says, do not say, I arise and I disappear. There is just arising and disappearing. What does that mean? We really identify with the concept of me. like, I have rights, or I should have, I'm looking for a good day, or I deserve a good day. I was a good boy my whole life. Why am I not having a good day? You know, that we really identify with that concept of me. But really, I think it's really beyond me. It's beyond my brother being, you know, having his ideas about recovery. Family was so happy that they were getting an infection. The doctor told me your brother was as near to death as anyone I could have seen, you know, in that hospital that day when he had the septic shock, kind of all of his organs shutting down. Everyone was happy when he started recovering from that infection. But then, two nights ago, the colon, it's like, life is a roller coaster sometimes, right? We all know this to some degree. And we're all kind of holding on, actually. We're all kind of hoping this is a good day. I'm hoping it, but, you know, it's like, what is a good day? That quality, I think, is can you get up in the morning, vow to live this day? That's the name of this temple. Minnesota Zen Center is a registered temple in the Sotoshu worldwide. And the registered name is Gansho-ji. Gansho means living in vow. Ji is temple. Living in vow, temple. What is that? What is that? What kind of vow? Truth to live is to live. The vow is when you get up this morning, can you vow? This is my day. Can I live this day wholeheartedly? Take care of moment to moment. That is, Katagiri Roshi said, spiritual practice. Don't look for ism, like, you know, Buddhism. Spiritual practice is how are you and I handling the rest of this day? Can we handle it with wholeheartedness and really be alive in life as it is? We've got some farmers in Decorah, you know, and when do they become farmers? It's like when the barn burned down and that farmer continued down the road. We had a lot of rain in Decorah last week, northeast Iowa. 9 inches one night, 4 inches about 5 nights ago. The rivers were not just calm streams. They were torrents. Down the road from me, we're up the hill, and down the road toward Mississippi River Valley, there's this couple. He's former priest and she's former nun. But anyway, I said hello when I first moved there. You know, oh, hey, how are you? You know. But anyway, they've been doing a CSA, which is farming. Fields totally wiped out. All of their crops. It was their livelihood. When does a farmer become a farmer? And that is, can you deal with life when it happens? It's true for all of us. You know, that is, I think, the spiritual practice, so to speak. And where is release? Where is happiness? Back to that point. We all want to be happy. Dalai Lama says it's a basic thing we all have in common, whatever nationality or race or whatever. Everyone wants to be happy. But where is happiness? That quality is when you can I be one with what is. Where's happiness for my brother when he thought he was on the road of recovery, and now he's back to, you know, home plate? Where is happiness? It's like, can you be one with life as it is? Doesn't mean we have to like it. It doesn't mean we have to lay down passively and give up. But can you take care of life as it is? So that quality, I think, is really what Buddhism, I think, is about. When I entered came toward Buddhism, it wasn't coming toward Buddhism. I wasn't looking for religion. I was really, the sacred or whatever I was, I was in life. The Buddha even says, about asking about, is there a God? And Buddha says, neither God nor no God. So the Buddha didn't go there. So neither God, he doesn't deny that there is a God, nor does he say there is no God. The issue is, how could you be one with life as it is? And about soul, Buddha says neither soul nor no soul. So we really hang on to this sense of identity. Even if I die, my soul will go someplace. It is true, our life, it goes. I mean, it's going right now. Your life is my life right now. Just giving a talk, and my life is your life. To some degree, we are each other's life. Our life does continue from this moment to beginningless, to endless past. So every moment, Dogen says, every moment contains a whole universe, from beginningless past to endless future. So where is happiness? Can I let go of a little bit my agenda and really be one with what is? Doesn't mean we shouldn't work to change what is. But ultimately, can you deal with what is? So that quality requires a rootedness, and a certain kind of realization that we're all part of this vastness of universe. So Katagiri Roshi, he talked about his teacher. He says, it's better if I drag these out. He's just commenting about his teacher. Actually, I visited his temple there in Japan. He says, my teacher never changed his attitude or feelings. Of course, he had feelings, but he was very calm. Sometimes he expressed loneliness, sometimes anger, but in a different way. Basically, his life was just going on. If we practice under such a person, we can learn what the truth of living is. He says the truth of living is to live, is just to live. So, in another place here, he says, my teacher's life was just going like a river. It was just moving along. So, I'm 77. I really look at older people. I know what I feel like sometimes. But what's it like in my 80s, if I make it there? What's it like in my 90s? I saw an older gentleman the other day. He was totally hunched over, walking with a walker. And he looked like he was in his 90s. And I thought, that's me. My hips are a little sore. I can still sit full lotus, but that's my bravo self. How will I be in my 80s or my 90s? Can we truth to live is to live. Can I live when I'm all hunched over and barely able to move along? Can I live when I'm not able to move along and just sitting in a chair someplace? So, wherever we are, I tell this story. My dad was 91. He was in an old folks' home. He was really depressed, but he had to go because he lived alone for many years. My mother died a lot younger. But when he had to go to old folks' home, you know, his chin was in his oatmeal, you know. And I said, Pop, you got to get up and start going. I knew the Catholic chaplain there. It was a retirement home for old nuns. And there weren't many old nuns anymore because they all dropped off. So that was they opened it up for other people. Anyway, I said, Father Tom needs an assistant. You should just start getting around and saying hello to these little old ladies. There weren't any little old men. But anyway, the next time I went down there, he was walking around those corridors. He was saying, hello, Helen. Hello, Louise. Hello, Bill. You know, there were five guys at the same table. He's starting to talk to them, you know, and then there were like about 75 other women, you know, but he was saying hello, and they were saying hello to him. And toward the end, he said, these have been three of the happiest years of my life. Why? You know, it's like he just turned it around and just started, you know, the truth to live is to live. You know, still, we vow, every morning we chant, we say in the morning service, there's a chant, we say, I vow to save all beings. If you see your oneness with the universe, the vow to save all beings is a life guide. It's a life arrow to point us in a direction. I had a 90-year-old woman in Japan, she was laying flat on her back, a liquor store salesman, where it was his store, and we were having lunch there because we were doing begging on the street, and we stopped at his place, and the wife said, come see my mother. Came into her room to see my mother. She said, Obo-san, here, mother, you know. She opened her eyes, looked, and just God showed. So it's like even just that little thing was really as significant in my life. I carry her with me in some sense. So who is to say life is over? You know, when we have a leg shot off, or, you know, or what? You know, so we can talk this talk. I can talk this talk. But that is the practice. Can we take care of moment as it is? Narazaki Ikuroshi, abbot of the monastery I was in for 3 years, he says, where is enlightenment? He says, enlightenment, it's right under your foot. Get it. It's not chasing after some kind of enlightenment. It's right under your foot. How are you handling your life with your wife, your husband, with your kids? That is your practice. My practice is somehow this. This has been part of my karma. But it's no different than your practice, you know, or any of our practice, you know, and just taking care of daily life. So, you know, that it's pretty good. It's a good place to stop. I have one more little story. Can you handle one more little? Okay. If you want to ask, if you got a few other opinions or whatever, we can talk a little bit, depending on our schedule. But All right. In the Rimanti, we have a fish hanging over in the Soto. Soto is like the meditation hall. So the fish is hanging over a side hallway door, and it's got a precious pearl in its mouth. And it's used as a sounding board when the food's brought out for Sishin, for retreats. So people ask, they say, what's the deal with the fish with the, you know, with the pearl in his mouth there? It's the fish is about this long. They fell up in Bemidji, carved it for us. So this story is that the fish heard there was a precious pearl at the bottom of the sea. We could say the bottom of Lake Calhoun. And the old fisherman who told him this was a monk. He says, yeah, you go down there, you can find a precious pearl. So fish went down, dark down there, but found when he got down there that there were myriad pearls all over the place. Hundreds of pearls. So he picks up one and he comes back up to the surface. And he says to the old fisherman, hey, what's the big deal? I thought you said there was a precious pearl down there. There are myriad pearls all over the place. And then the old fisherman, who is a monk, said, yes, every moment is a precious pearl. We're always looking for the precious pearl that will make us happy. Something. Having a good day. Having a good marriage. Having a good... my kids turning out the way I want them to be. Or, we have 100 and we have myriad. They're, you know... but what is the precious pearl? Every moment is a precious pearl. Every moment is turning the universe. Every moment is your life going for endless time. The issue is, do we value the moment at hand and take care of it as it is? That, I think, is Soto Zen practice. It is 24-hour Zazen. Zazen's very, I think, I've been doing it 40 years. I ask myself, why am I still doing Zazen? Why am I still coming to Zen Center? You know, so it's like, why? It's like Zazen, it's a very formal way of just stopping the commentary and sitting up into this moment, this time, straight back, deal with this 40-minute moment. And that is just a metaphor for sitting up in 24-hour Zazen. The ancients talked about 24-hour Zazen. Dogen, when he went to China, he was looking for enlightenment. But an old Tenzo was working in the sun, drying mushrooms, and so he says, why are you doing this and not sitting Zazen or looking at the koans, studying the koans? And the Tenzo says, my dear friend, you do not yet know what Zazen is. That is not something that happens just in the Zendo. It is your life. And how do you take care of what's under your foot? So I think that is the Soto Zen flavor that has come down through a 1,000 years from China, India, China, and Japan, and to our country. And Katagiri Roshi was one of that first wave, Suzuki Roshi in San Francisco. So we are the next generation. So what is the teaching? Teaching of Buddhism. There's 30,000 scriptures. But it's basically, can you drop off body and mind and sit up in moment as it is? We don't feel like it sometimes, but still, can you take care of your life as it is? That is, I think, the truth. To live is to live. So those are cheap words, and I hope we all kind of help each other along the way. Thank you. Do we have 5 minutes?
We've got 15 minutes.
Oh, good. We can go party. Any comments? Yes.
I like what you said about each moment is a precious pearl. Before I even came to Buddhism, I had the attitude to myself that it sounds trite, if you can't be happy, if you're unhappy. And I took that to mean a vow to myself that I'm just going to be happy. That's what I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think part of that attitude is why Ted, when I was initiated, gave me the name Gansho, living in Bao.
Uh-huh. That's good. There you go. Hello. Can you hear a little bit what he was saying there? Thank you. Okay. Very deep. Very nice. Yeah. My Dharma name is Shoken. What does Shoken mean?
Right.
Sort of. Shoken means clear manifestation. So what does that mean? Talk succinctly or clearly? That's one level, maybe. But what is truly clear manifestation? That quality, I think, is just manifest your life under whatever circumstances are coming up. Instead of your screen, you know, of your commentary about it's fair, it's not fair, it's this or it's that, or why me? Why does this happen just when things are so busy? I'm so busy. So busy compared to what? You know, it's our agendas. There's reality. I'm not talking about being a hippie on the trolley in San Francisco. Excuse me. I enjoyed the trolley. But I was only there for a week. Anyway. So, clear manifestation. That's a good... Yes.
Your talk has a particular meaning to me today because there's a moment that I'm fixated on. I'm a teacher, I teach fifth grade, and yesterday there's a moment that I've been feeling ashamed of and embarrassed of. It's the second week of school, and the group of students that I'm working with this year are far needier than the students that I'm accustomed to working with. And the way that their needs are expressed are sometimes difficult. And so there was
fifth grade students, they're not so rosy compared to last year. They were all just fine.
Yeah.
Keep going. Go, keep going.
It's succinct. It's clearly articulated. I lost my temper yesterday, which is something I haven't done in the classroom in a long time, and I thought that I had moved past it. And so this moment is replayed over and over again in my head, and I think about the repercussions of it and the relationships that I now must mend and all of these sorts of things. And so when you say that every moment is a pearl, and when you say that... That makes me think, well, okay, that one must be as well in some way, you know, and so I will find out how.
I think so. When we lose it sometime or really step in a, you know, my uncle in Texas said if you step in these cow potties with your bare feet, you'll grow big and strong. And my brother and I believed him. So here we are. So that, you know, I mean, those experiences, it's like, you know, you grow you've grown from that experience, because it's not gnawed at you for 24 hours or this weekend. So maybe we become more watchful or more tolerant or more, how do I contain that kind of energy without smashing it, you know? So that's a great teaching. That's a jewel. It's a pearl. Just to deal, to struggle with those issues. And you can even, depending, I don't know, the situation, go back, talk about it a little bit with the class. That too. They see your humanness. And all of a sudden the teacher gets mad, just like my mom and dad do sometimes, you know, or whatever, you know. So where is the pearl? You know, it comes in strange forms sometimes. I wouldn't be sitting here in this moment, in this time, had my former spouse not confronted me. That confrontation was really a turning point. So here we are. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thinking of something when you were talking about your brother, how do you deal with death and life? Like your brother's, it reminded me of a situation my mother years ago when she was caught in this hospital cycle, you know, her health was, she had ovarian cancer, and it was near the end of her life. They had to make decisions, you know, whether she wanted to continue. So how do you deal with death and life, that transition from different life?
Yeah, have you heard this book, Immortal, somebody help me.
Being mortal.
We're just talking about, we go for, you know, these kind of like wild card solutions sometimes, you know, like trying to wait off death, you know. I mean, whole medical establishment, everyone wants to save us from mortality, you know. We're all geared that way. But sometimes if we put people through these kind of like long shots, which are like just, we go for it. My dad died in surgery. We went for a long shot, so to speak. But he was healthy and we thought, why not? But that spot on his lung, he probably would have outlived it, even though, you know, it would have also got him. So these are hard calls, you know. But so how do you deal? We do our best. And can I live with my mother passing, or my father, or our own cancer, or whatever? So it's not just blowing it off. You know, I'm a Zen student. I don't care. I'll just be. So.
Yeah, it's in the hospital cycle, it's like the doctors, you know, a lot of them, they were kind of involved in this ego trip and save the patient. You know, it's like a victory, save the patient. But actually, in my mother's case, after a while, it's obvious that wasn't the best thing to do in the situation.
It's hard to judge, you know, people. Like, maybe they're not just, maybe doctor has some real concern and care, and maybe feels like there is some really good possibility. Who knows, you know? So I don't want to whitewash doctors either, you know. So we're all out there just trying to do our best. How about parenting? You know, who's got the best book on that? You know, here we go. All right, yeah. Yeah, just 1 second. Yeah. Yes.
One of the things you said is something I think I'm trying to work on, but I don't even know how to work on it. The idea of, can we live this life and yet not necessarily, I don't know how exact words to use, but just roll over. And I think for me, And one of the things that I have found helpful in the practice over the years has been learning to be more like a read and tolerate.
A read? Yeah. Okay.
And I think I'm at a point of recognizing that I'm safe and I don't always need to be a read.
Yeah.
Perhaps it is time to be more like
a tiger. A tiger. Tigress.
And I'm seeing it as I'm parenting my son. And I'm seeing it when I look back over choices I've made. And again, I don't even know how to work on it. What that even means. I know when you said that, I just feel like I want more. I want to hear more. I want to.
Yeah. I think. Boy, I don't know if I should. I'll say, you know. My mother one time said to me in anger, close your ears if you're offended by bad words. Okay? She said, you know, in anger, she said, your shit stinks like anybody else's. It was something. I don't know what. I don't even remember what it was. But it was like, wow. You know, it's like she got my attention. So sometime, you know, it's like we need to get told or we need to, you know, hear what's what, you know. And I'm not advocating you do in that way, you know, but sometimes, just like you were, you know, kind of what you're calling, over the top a little bit, but hey, tigers are tigers, you know. But I don't know. Yeah. Yes, please.
I'm not sure quite how to say this, but we're talking about, you know, showing up for life for all of it, you know. And sometimes it seems the struggle I have is, I'm wondering if you're pointing to this. It's like the most difficult moments. We want to push them away.
Right.
And when one's not really there or something, when it's not really fully there. But I just want to know, like, what advice you have for when it seems like there's so many difficult moments.
Right.
And you, I mean, I watch people in my family that are
right.
suffering deeply.
Right.
And they're not
right.
finding a way out of it.
Right.
You know, and how, and then you, because we're all connected, when you care, you know, you
right.
care about
your family,
the world, and not just their family, but you see that in the world too. And
right.
Like, how can we meet that? You know, what is then? What are you trying to say?
Yeah. You know, there's that story where the Buddha tried to negotiate with an enemy king. There's a lot of problems in the world, you're saying, you know, and he succeeded a little bit, but then it failed. And the enemy king came over and wiped out his country. But still, somehow, the Buddha was in peace and went on. He could have fought at that moment. He could have just raised all kinds of hell. But you know, it's like he tried to negotiate, and that fell through. And so there is, like you say, there's just listen to the news, you know, migrations and refugees, and you know, this is the 15th anniversary of, you know, Twin Towers. So it's like, where do you go with all that? So that quality is like the first noble truth is life is suffering, because everybody is trying to take care of their own little small territory, you know, and wars go on, family wars, and there's just difficulties with life itself, like health issues, and how do we live there? That is our human challenge, I think, It's our human challenge. It's our rose-colored glasses. It says everything should be just nice, and you know, it is. We've got a lot to be grateful for. Look at where we are. We got clothes. We got a roof over our head. We had food this morning. You know, there are a lot of people. We're swimming in the Mediterranean right now. So, yeah. Right. Right. It's all there. And we feel it. But still, how do you kind of... We say pray for people. What is pray for people? It's really to resonate with what our family's going through, or what our children are going through, or for the rest of the world. And not be so arrogant about my life and having my quality of living, you know, just not disturb, you know. It's arrogance to not see our oneness. So, how do we live? An appreciation for what we have, but also sensitivity of what others do not have. Or that what we have is a result of abuse of human ways that produced what we have. Maybe. But here we are. So how do we take care of it in peace and harmony in some way? So there's no book about that exactly. Okay. Do you guys serve tea and cookies?
We do.
Oh, good. That's why I come.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much. It was really great to be with you.